This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Friday, August 23, 2024, the Memorial of St. Rose of Lima, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Some of the older versions of the scriptures in that gospel say that they ask our Lord Jesus Christ that question to try him, a trial. This kind of discourse was the common fare in conversation among Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes talking about, so when you get priests and deacons and bishops together, they're always talking about spiritual stuff and church things and all this kind of, that's what they talk about. So when you look at this question that's posed to Jesus, when we say, they said to try him or to test him. Again, it's no major test. Again, this is common conversation. So what is the element, and why did the Holy Spirit say they tried to test our Lord? Is because our Lord had been presenting since his earthly ministry started that he took upon himself the authority to interpret the law in a way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, everybody in the traditions of the Hebrew people had never thought about it, or it wasn't interpreted. For instance, when our Lord, he said, you've heard it said that thou shalt not kill. But I say to you, you know, think of the boldness of that statement. Who gave the commandments? God, right? And our Lord said, well, God gave you the, in a nutshell, this is, you know, how these guys are hearing it. God gave you these commandments. And I say that that's a very, very bold statement that you can interpret what God says. They're getting more and more and more upset with our Lord. So as his ministry goes on and on, when they the trial, they want him to say something. They want him to push the bounds. They want him to go somewhere. So they, okay, tell us which is the first, what is the most important? Which is the first and foremost commandment? And it's kind of interesting because you would think that if you would ask somebody, what's the greatest commandment, that they would actually go to the list of commandments. The list of commandments of the scriptures are found in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy chapter 5. That's where we have the Ten Commandments, both times in scripture. Jesus doesn't go to either one of those places. They've asked him about the commandments and he doesn't go to the commandments. He goes to Deuteronomy chapter 6, that is the, for all intent and purposes, it is the Hebrew confession of faith. It's referred to as the Shema in Hebrew. And it speaks of God being one, and it says how much we should love him. So this is what our Lord says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then he goes to Leviticus chapter 19, and he said, and you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19, anybody that reads the Old Testament or has anything to do with, you know, studying things like that, you're pretty familiar with the Shema. You're pretty familiar with the Hebrew people believed about God. So that is no huge surprise right there. That is like the biggie for everybody. And that is the first commandment. You know, the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all both lists of commandments, that's the first one. So when they see him go to the Shema, their confession of faith, it's a, excellent, okay, check mark on that one, that's good. You didn't deviate. But again, he didn't go to the commandments. He went somewhere else outside of them to show a synopsis of the commandments. But when he goes to Leviticus 19, there are no whole lot of people that know that one. Leviticus 19, that verse starts out with, seek ye not revenge, which is kind of weird because in the Old Testament, everybody talks about lex talionis, which is that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth law that they had. Well, if somebody does that to you, you do this to them. This is how they viewed everything. And but in the Old Testament, even, seek not revenge. The Holy Spirit says that in the Old Testament. Seek not revenge. You love to live by this law. They do this to you. You do that to that. You get revenge on these people. No, this is not how we do this. Okay, seek ye not revenge, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it says. It goes on. So our Lord goes to those two places, and he is doing exactly what he has been doing, but they can't argue with it because both of them are what God says we should relate. One thing that he does do, just like when he ratchets up the whole idea about, you said that, shall not kill, even if you think evil against your neighbor, you violated this commandment. Our Lord ratchets things up. He does not loosen. It's unfortunate in our day and age, everybody looks at Jesus like he loosened everything up when he showed up. And it's just the opposite. He tightened the screws on everything. Thou shalt not kill. Don't even think evil about anybody or violate that commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't even think lustfully about a woman in your heart or you violated that command. What? How can you? That's impossible for you and your nature. But not for God. This is what he expects of you. So when Jesus does this, and the way that the Hebrews looked at it, the Pharisaical approach to the law, where there are things that were called the light matters of the law and things that were heavy matters of the law, which is a thing, okay? We're Catholics, right? We have venial sins and we have mortal sins. So we have, in a word, light sins and heavy sins. When Jesus does this and presents this summary of love the Lord your God with all your heart, your neighbor yourself, and love your neighbor yourself, he equates the two. On these two laws hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that you know about the Old Testament, every interpretation of the law that you have ever come up with in your mind, these two things, one which is absolutely the heaviest, the first commandment, the heaviest. And I'm telling you that this one that you think is a light commandment because it just kind of pops up there about seek ye not revenge, that light commandment, I'm equating the two. This is what I mean about Jesus ratcheting things up. You thought that one was heavy and that one's light. I'm telling you, they're both the same. They're both heavy. They're very light. Ooh. You know, but they can't argue against it because it's what the prophets and the law say. So he doesn't deviate from the law of the prophets. He just gives them a whole new perspective. And it's a ratcheting up perspective. This is what our Lord does. So when he does it, when he makes this, what they perceive to be a light matter of the law. Yeah, okay. We love our neighbor. Yeah, whatever. Because they've proven time and time again, just in the scripture, that they don't love their neighbor. They don't love their neighbor. They don't want people to be converted. They don't, they really could care less. Like when let your master eat with sinners and tax collectors. They obviously show that they don't care about sinners and tax collectors. So they don't care about that. No, love your neighbor as yourself. They're your neighbor. So this is a heavy matter of the law. You must do it. And it's also pulls a rug right out from under all your friends who are like the faith alone people. The faith alone people. That first one covers faith. That second one covers works. And Jesus said, they're both equal. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, what does that mean? You do for your neighbor. This is what our Lord is trying to get across to us. He ratchets things up. He wants us to know that any work that we do in this world, oh, it's works-based righteousness. Well, if you love God, yeah. Not works-based in you can work your way into heaven. But if you want to go to heaven because you love God, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself because that's his command. This is what we do. This is what we do. And they're both of equal weight. So when our Lord presents this to them, they have to sit back. He's covered everything. And he has provided his own interpretation of what things are important. But they can't argue against it. They did not trip him up. He passed the trial, so to speak. When we see things like this, we have to know that both of those things, that summary of the law, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself is what we must practice in our life. We must live that stuff, which is quite difficult for us. We look at some people who do it to the extreme, and that's a little crazy, or that's really crazy. St. Rose of Lima, love her. St. Rose, a lot of the works of art for St. Rose of Lima are her performing various and sundry acts of penance. You know, everybody that knows anything about St. Rose of Lima, she got later teenage years and guys started paying attention to her, so she cut off all her hair. That didn't dissuade a lot of, so she squeezes peppers on her face to do, you know, so that it gets all swollen up and things like that. There are pictures of her. I was looking at a stained glass this morning. It's a memorial window in some church in Ireland, I think it was. And it's St. Rose of Lima holding her hands over fire. Now, we don't have anything about it, but I mean, this is when you think of St. Rose of Lima, that's what you think about. You think about severe penance. That was what she was known for. That's crazy. It really showed her love of God. It showed her love of God. And now, I will be the first one to tell you, direct you, that you don't do things like that. Do not do things like that. Any corporal work of penance needs to be run through your spiritual director. Any corporal work of penance. Much less that kind of stuff. We do know some things from her, like the whole holding hands over fire. I don't know about that one. I've never read. So I'm not saying it didn't happen because that was her thing. She did have a silver crown that had little spikes on the inside of it that she wore around all the time. The crown of thorns. She wore that for 11 years. Things like that. Again, got to talk to your spiritual director. Flesh this out a little bit. But at the end of the day, anybody who has a desire to do such things has a desire to do such things because they want to get closer to Christ. They want to objectively, really, concretely associate themselves with his sufferings. I mean, you really think about it. You look at a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ crowned with thorns for hours and hours and hours and lament that happened to him and think in your mind, oh, man, I've stuck myself with needles before. That had to hurt and all that kind of thing. Like, you really don't appreciate it unless you like, you would wear a crown of thorns. You wouldn't really appreciate it. Again, I would admonish you not to do that. Let's talk to your spiritual director. But, you know, we need to understand that this is the motive. It's not the practice so much that you want to emulate. It's the motive. How much can you love God that you want to do things like that? It shows our detachment from things in this world. What, you know, detachment. We are vain people. We're vain people. We always like to look good. You do this, dress modestly. I'll dress modestly, but I got to dress modestly that looks good, which is fine. St. Rose of Lima, I don't want to look good. Don't even pay attention to me. I'll squeeze pepper juice on my face. I mean, this is this woman. Okay, why? Because she loved Christ. Well, it's weird. You got to have this balance because she didn't walk around doing that so people would, because some people do things like that pridefully. There are some things that people do that are prideful. I was talking to somebody not too long ago about something, and I do this to show my humility. Well, it doesn't show your humility. It's just the opposite. Everybody pays attention to you because you do that. So it doesn't show your humility. You might think in your mind it does, but I'm telling you it doesn't. And a bunch of other people will tell you it doesn't. So we got to be very, very careful about such things. You don't want to draw attention to this. That's why I said talk to your spiritual director, because he can push on you want to do something like that, do this, do that, do that. Because, again, that stuff like that's got to be on the down low. She loved God. She did severe penance because she loved him. But at the same time, governing officials went to this woman's funeral. Okay, she died when she was 31 years old. She lived in a room in her father's house, never hardly ever went out. And who knows this person? Her reputation preceded her. Not just her reputation doing this stuff like that, but her reputation of caring for the poor. Because the only time she ever went out, for all intent and purposes, was to do for poor people. And everybody knew it. Everybody knew she was pious from her early age, and then they kind of just left her alone because she was a hard case. She was a fool for Christ. And she lived in her father's house like a recluse and came out only to fend for the poor. So she had both of the things going on. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. She is a personification of the practicality of living this. The world takes notice when you do things like that. The world takes notice. This is why she's St. Rose of Lima, patroness of the Americas and the Philippines. Heck, you know, she lives in South America and she's patroness of the Philippines. I mean, the word spreads. People take notice of this kind of stuff. We want people to take notice of some things. All right. We don't do it for prideful reasons. They want us to take notice that we're not attached to the things in this world, that we don't do things that they do, and we do do things that they don't do. This is our Catholic life. Okay. Again, within moderation of things. Do not be walking around with a silver crown with spikes on it around people. It's going to draw attention to yourself. Hey, you want to do it while you live as a recluse in your house? Okay, fine. Knock yourself out. That shows the reality of the whole thing. That shows the motive behind the whole thing. But the world will take notice. The world took notice of her, and this is a lesson for us. Our Lord gives us a lesson in the Supper of the Law. These are both as weighty as one with the other, because you can't escape one with it. You can't say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and then not love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do it. You can't do it. You don't love God because they bear his image. And if nothing else, if you don't want to go there, because he says so. We ought to be good with that, all right? And we ought not do it grudgingly. And we can't love our neighbor as ourselves and not go to Mass. Well, I give to the poor people. I give to the guys that are standing on the sidewalk and at the intersections. I give to them, but I don't go to Mass on Sunday. I do good for the poor. No, you need to love your neighbor and love God, which means going to Mass on Sunday. This is the reality. We've got to make it real. Because when you make it real, people take notice. And we do want people to notice. Prove yourself. How many times do we read that? What do we hear all that? I don't have to prove anything to anybody. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. Says it from cover to cover that you need to prove yourself by being obedient, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. You got to prove it. Not one of them. Jesus said, no, both of them. You got to prove both of them. This is our lot. This is what we need to do. And when we do it well, people take notice. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.